Morning, everybody. How are you? It's a beautiful day. It's kind of warm, but it's nice in here, isn't it? Air works. Yeah, love it. Let's see. We're going to start overhead, I think, with something. Or do you want me to switch? Ah, here we go.
We'll have to give us a minute. Yeah, stall.
Okay, stall.
I don't have music.
You know, I don't either. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Do you have an extra one?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
We're slightly unpolished here, but we'll make things shine here in a little bit. Let's stand as we try to sing here. Here we go. Maybe we got the wrong music. We're going to get it right, folks.
It's in here.
This is it. That's it. We're ready.
We're ready? Okay, here we go. That's all right. Here we go.
Jesus, King of the nations, Jesus, Lord of all.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thanks for getting us here today, Lord. Thanks for the opportunity, Lord, to come here to worship you. Thanks for this song, Lord. All it is praise to you, and we thank you so much for it. Thanks for the bunch of folks that showed up here today, Lord. I just pray that we'd have a good time while we're here, Lord. Remember to shake a hand, give somebody a nod, smile, a hug, whatever, Lord. Just give a little Christian love amongst each other here today. Pastors here showed up today. We're anticipating some time in your word, Lord, and I pray as you guide him that his power will come out, Lord, that we'll see maybe a soul saved today, Lord, maybe a life changed, or maybe just some good news, Lord, to stick in our hearts and take home with us as we live our Christian lives here on this earth. Thank you for this time today, Lord. Thank you for our nation, Lord, for the many freedoms that we enjoy, but I pray for our nation, Lord, that it might turn back to you, Lord. Be with us, Lord. Help us to see the need in our own hearts for revival. Lord, we know it starts individually, and I pray that it does so, Lord, and spreads like wildfire. But today, Lord, just guide and direct. Be with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How about page 32, please? Page 32. Tonight, it's our evening service, 6 o'clock. Our message is Exploring God and His Names, Part 2. Don't miss it, folks. Women's Bible Studies, June 6th at 6 o'clock. Iron Sharpens Iron on the 17th at 9 o'clock. Personal Evangelism, the 13th and 27th at 6 o'clock. Wilton Bible Study, the 15th and 29th at 6 o'clock. We have a quarterly business meeting this month. It is the 11th at 6 o'clock. Deadline for agenda items is June 7th. Kathy Siwasik is going to be the person to call for our prayer chain. Numbers there. See our services, 9:30 on Sunday school, 10:40 Sunday morning worship, and our evening service at 6. The thought for the week from our pastor, are you withering in the heat? Sink your roots in the water. Guys, if you'll come forward, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day, the opportunity to be here, the many things we got accomplished this week, Lord, your safety, your provision, Lord, all of it. Lord, again, we just ask you to guide and direct our pastor today. Just got a special need to pray for him today, Lord. Just be with him, guide him, strengthen him. But most of all now, Lord, we're going to be taking up an offering. Please, be with the gift and givers who do so. In Jesus' name, amen. I made a mistake, but we have one more song to do here. It's going to be on our overhead. It's I Give You My Heart. And I believe, Jason, you going to play for us? Sorry. Good. Good deal. I'll have a seat then. Thank you.
Well, praise God. Good to see everyone this morning. All right, the song today, this is a learning song, one of the new ones for our congregation here. And it's Lord, I Give You My Heart. And we're going to start out a little bit differently than usual. We're going to start out with the chorus and do that a couple times and do the verse once and finish up with the chorus again. And this really is, it's really a prayer from ourselves to the Lord. And I would encourage each and every one to sing it unto the Lord as a prayer. And I do pray, Lord, that you will guide us today in this song. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Give you my heart, I give
Praise the Lord. Amen. And I guess I'll announce for Lonnie. Oh, yeah. All right. And we have Autumn performing a special here today. Thank you, Autumn.
To present to the Lord today. It's called Even If. And this is a song for those in the Christian life who have had struggles, had persecution, temptation they've given into, and hard times, sad things, family and loved ones lost. Not everything in life is filled with great joy. There's lots of struggles. This needs to come up, and I'm not real good at this. Word. He doesn't say, you know, come to me and all will be perfect, but he does say that his burden that he puts on us, his yoke is light and easy, and usually our struggles come about from the sin curse or our own poor choices. So let's today find a way to get through that, and may the words of this song help you with that. They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've sang at this mic time after time, reminding the broken it'll be all right, but right now, oh, right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's not much to bring me down, but what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, if you
saved through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. And I know the sorrow, and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say,
thank you, Autumn. Thanks to all that had a part this morning in our music today. Welcome, everyone. What a beautiful day God's given us today down here in the desert, right? Praise God in all things. I do welcome you to our time of gathering today and worship. Oftentimes it's called a service, but I don't believe we're here to service God, nor He us, but we are here to praise His name and to give Him glory and to encourage one another in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and to expound His powerful Word, which is living and powerful. And so today I welcome you on that basis, because Jesus is welcome here, so are you. And I trust today that you'll be turning your heart toward the Lord this morning in a time of worship today. Some of the songs that we've heard this morning hopefully will give us an earworm and will be beneficial in our opportunity to praise Him. I just want to read Psalm 100 this morning. We had that in our junior-senior high class today, but just remind ourselves once again, do you have a joyful heart of praise to our God today? Because He is worthy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God? It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Today at 5 o'clock, I looked at God's sunrise. Did any of you catch that in the east this morning? Hallelujah, praise God. I woke Kim up to praise God. Beautiful. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. If we accomplish half of these things this morning in our hearts toward the Lord as we gather, we'll have accomplished something. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. May the Lord God be praised this morning in the gathering at Fruitland Baptist Church. Welcome to one and all. We're glad for everyone that's here. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to begin our message. We'll get where we get today, and as Kim says, we won't have a fit. But we're on part two of exploring God's rules for the two sexes and reasons why we live today in troubled times in our world. Also, please stay for communion at the end of our time of gathering this morning, when we can again recall and remember what Jesus has done for us, His goodness that is manifested to us in His work on the cross through His body and His blood that paid the price for our sins and also covered our sins, atoned for our sins in His blood. So with that, I welcome you today. Let's go to prayer. Let's take just a few moments to quiet our hearts, to adjust our heartfelt desires toward the Lord. Is He your King today? He is the King of the nations, but He can be your King today if He's not. But if He is, let Him know that He is worthy. Let's go to prayer. Our Father God, as we approach You today, gathered here as Your children, Lord, in the place known as the gathering, the ecclesia, the called out ones, Lord, it's called the church, it's Your beloved bride. Lord, we come to You this day. I think, Lord, all of us here are aware of who You are and what You've done. I pray today, Lord, that every soul in this auditorium has a personal relationship with You, Lord, that is born again, that is walking again as a blood-bought believer under Your care and love. But I thank You today, Lord, for another opportunity to expound once again Your goodness and the fact that You care for each and every human being. And it is Your desire to see us come under a personal walk with You, to have our sins forgiven, Lord, to be made a new creature in Christ. And this is the day that you have made for that. If it is the day that you have called someone, again, Lord, into a personal walk with you, I pray that that might be affected today in this time as we gather together. Or, Lord, in a day or time that you have chosen, that people will again come into that intimate walk with you. We thank you for everyone that's come through the doors. We thank you for those that listen to this over the internet. Father, we thank you for our community where you have placed us. And Lord, may we be a light in this community. Lord, may we be a place that shows true love to our fellow man and displays honest and heartfelt love to you, O Lord, in the actions that we do. Father, we thank you again for all that are connected with Fruitland Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, today, I see our connections very loose today. We need restoration, Lord, of solid gatherings, Lord, of where people are enthused about your word, and Lord, where they want to really come and grow in you. And I pray that that might be affected, Lord, with those that are here this day, that we would do our very best, Lord, to encourage one another, even in times of trial and darkness. Now, I thank you today for the message and the music that we've heard, and I pray, Lord, we'd take it to heart, that we truly would let you have your way with us. Lord, as always, though, amongst our rejoicing and praise, we also praise you in the fact that there are some that are struggling today, Lord, maybe here or not here. Lord, with all types of maladies that are a part of the broken world in which we live, Lord, which is not your fault, but when Adam fell and Eve, Lord, we know it changed your plan and your desire for us to have sweet, uninterrupted fellowship with you. So, Lord, our hearts and prayers go out for many that are ill today or struggling in one way or another. And, Lord, we remember our community around us as well today that may be lost, Lord, and may be very needy. And we pray, Lord, that you would meet those needs. Now, Lord, for the preaching today, Lord, I'm just not qualified. It's very difficult some days, and this is one of those days when this could be a difficult day for various reasons, Lord. I pray you'd bind Satan's hands and that you'd give me the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to proclaim your word. These issues today are not light things in our time. And Father, it's going to take me a few weeks to really get down to all the brass tacks on this, but I believe it's worth it, Lord, to take the time to absorb what you have to say today. Now, Lord, some things may be somewhat controversial today, but Lord, we come here not to be indoctrinated. We come here to think and to respond to what your word says. Lord, forgive me in advance for my weaknesses. I'll do my best. But some of these things today, Lord, I'll bring forth with some of the thoughts that I have. I pray that you'll use those for their intended use. Now, Lord, I ask your help. And again, for results today as we go into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, as we continue in our exploration of God's rules for the two sexes, by the way, I do believe God has rules. He has parameters. He has desires. He has his ordination of things to be in a way that he has created them. You know, with God, everything fits together. I admit, knowing and experiencing God is somewhat like doing a jigsaw puzzle. It's hard to see when you look at the box at what that could be of what it is when it's all torn apart and scattered, isn't it? And quite frankly, I've never been a big fan of those kind of things because I like to have something that I can say, I can get this solved in a given amount of time and move on to something else. I used to see my folks as they became elderly work a whole winter getting a complicated puzzle put together and sit there and put the pieces. And in my makeup, under the kind of life that I live in my days, and even yet today, I don't have the time to do that. If I had that kind of time, I don't know what I'd do with it. But anyway, it's kind of like that though with God too, isn't it? It's hard to see how all the pieces fit, but I assure you, he has revealed every bit of that in his scriptures to us. And if we're diligent to search those things out, the answers will be found. And folks, anyway, let me get back to my thing here. But when we, and talking again about the roles for the two sexes, and we'll get into that today, I believe there's only two, male and female. And I believe that on the basis of what God tells us, which we'll look at later. But What we observe that as the confusion about these issues grow regarding God's designed order for all things, so also does the misery factor of troubled times become apparent. And folks, I believe with all my heart today there is a high misery factor. I did not say Missouri, Judy. I said misery. Yes. Yes, I think in general people are not very happy today for various reasons. But I believe a lot of it's caused because we've gotten out of the order of the way things work, of how God's designed things. And from time to time, that's happened through in this world. Most of the time, it's in effect, at least to an extent. But other times, it becomes drastically apparent. There is no doubt we are experiencing such times in our current environment. Never forget, we live in the midst of an epic battleground between God and Satan. And we learned last time on this subject that Satan is the author of confusion, and he's a liar and a deceiver. So everything he does when he goes up against God is going to be absolutely negatively appropriated to God's truth, even if it's only by a little bit. He's the master of deception, but God is absolute truth. God sets the standards for righteousness and holiness. They don't come from anywhere else, folks. It's not our righteousness, it's not our holiness, because we don't have it. We don't have the capability to set those standards. Only God does, because he is the one who designed and instituted all things good at his leisure and for his pleasure. That's a hard thing for us to understand. But hear the word of God in Revelation 4:11. Here John writes, "Thou art worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We better never forget that, folks. This is, if you're born again today, this is our Father's world. Not our earthly fathers, our Father God. It's all his, and we better never forget that. He has a right and a privilege to do what he wants, because he created them for his pleasure. He created mankind for the pleasure of fellowship with him. He seeks to have that with us and in the way he's created us. So folks, it's all about him, not us, even though he chooses to have a relationship with us, which proves to us how much he loves us in spite of our sinful frailties. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Think of Psalm 100 again. Enter into his courts with praise. Absolutely. I told the young people, and you've heard this before me before, a lot of times when I wake up early in the morning, the first word out of my mouth is, "Ow!" And usually followed by, "Kim, we need to get a new mattress." And then we go back to bed the same night and don't get one. But think about that. What are the first words that come from your mouth every day? I'll tell you what, as I looked at that sunrise today, hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yep. It's all about him. He loves us even though we are sinful and frail. I want us to think about two words. I want you to ponder on two words today. You may not all agree about this, and that's okay. We're not here to always have to agree, but we're here to think and to ponder. What's it mean to ponder? Well, for me, I need to grow a goatee. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Although, maybe I should try a beard sometime. If I don't have it up here, maybe I could do it. Yeah. I don't know how that works. Ponder means to what? Vegetate on something. We talked yesterday in men's Bible study about the old cows chewing their cud. You know, they get their mileage out of their food. I always like being by an old cow and she's contented and restful, and you hear a whoop, and then the jaw starts to move. Chews her cud. We ought to be doing that with the things of God, folks. We really should. We ought to be pondering all of these things. Here's the two words today, folks. By the way, I could make you note sheets, but just write a few things down or remember them. Two words, effector and receptor. Effector and receptor. I want you to ponder these words. You may not all agree with me, but as we study our subject and God's designing influence. God's designing influence. Have you ever wondered, why did God do things the way he did? Well, as he shows us through his word, it becomes obvious that his design is perfect. Who are we to question God? And yet we do, but as he reveals himself to us, we come to find out he is the ultimate designer. And he has set things up to work in a way that will bring him glory and will be beneficial to man if we'll follow it. I ask you to extend this application on these words as you consider sexuality and gender issues. And yes, I will keep this fairly suitable for all audiences here this morning. We're not here to make a kerfuffle about these things, but many of you know some of the things that I may refer to today. But anyway, it applies to sexuality and gender issues and God's plan that he has, remembering that Satan is the master deceiver and distorter of God's implicit experiential truth. A main premise to strive for change in the pattern of Christ in our lives as we submit to his will. That is the main challenge that God gives us, to submit, again, to the likeness of Christ, to the likeness of Almighty God, to understand and to envelop his ways, and to make those cause us to be changed and conformed to the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says the following, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory." Now the mirror that's being talked about here is the Word of God. When we look into the Word of God, we are seeing ourselves how we line up to that mirror, which is the Word of God. And just like we do when we get ourselves dressed, if we do that in front of a mirror, we're making observations and we're being shown the deficiencies or the positives that we have. But the Word of God is like a mirror. And so we are changed if we look into that perfect mirror of God from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God changes our hearts as we look into his word and conforms us to his image. And that is the goal that we need to have as we struggle and work through this life with the things of God and how we line up in accordance to that. And that includes gender and sexuality issues, folks. God gives the premises here that we can work from. Now, combine what I just read to you there out of Corinthians with Paul's instruction in our battle of resistance against sin. Well, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Paul here is talking about the race to maturity, so to speak, in Christ. In other words, he says it's like running a foot race. And there are many things that are involved on the pathway to that, but we have to keep ourselves focused on the prize. Follow with me here with these verses. Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain." What Paul is telling us here in this challenge, once again, to be transformed or changed by God and through his word, is that we ought to not just run the race, but we ought to run the race to the best of our ability, looking to get what? First place. In other words, we should not be nonchalant about our involvement in God's word and in his will, but we should be pursuing it with all the vigor we have within us, that lies within us. How many of us can truly say that we're in that position today? Well, I can say I fall short. And I can say, probably with much likelihood, so do you. But that's the goal. And Paul says, keep your eye on the prize, run the race with all you've got. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but hear this, folks, but we, an incorruptible crown." If you're here as a believer this morning, we are not doing what we do for the Lord, you know, for vague reasons. We are doing them, again, to serve him and to extol him and glorify him, but we are also doing it for a crown. Not a crown to pin on our chest to say, look what I've done, It's a crown. There's seven crowns, by the way. It's a crown to give back to Jesus to say, look what you did through me. See, that's the important thing about this, folks. This is real stuff. An incorruptible crown. This isn't the trophies. When our kids were showing cattle growing up, they won quite a few trophies. They didn't always win first place. Those trophies actually got to be a burden at one time, and I think Kim maybe disposed of some of those because there was no place to have. And what are they? Plastic and metal, it's the memories that last in that. But you know what? That's the problem with us people. We're into the plastic and the metal, but we're not into the gold of the crowns that the Lord Jesus has prepared for us who obey Him. Yes, we need to get focused on the incorruptible, folks. So Paul goes on, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm not just going through the motions, I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty in this. Folks, it's been a long time since I've been in good shape. I'm probably going back to high school wrestling days, climbing a rope with your hands and arms only off the floor to the ceiling. Any of you ever done that? You know, not running out of wind. I've had a few times like that in my 20s and 30s, and I still can scramble pretty good. But let me tell you something, folks, I'm not in shape anymore. I'm tired right here this morning, and you can probably see it. I'm getting old, you know. But Paul was strung out for Jesus. He was fit. He was buff. And what he tells us here in verse 27, he says, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection. In other words, he was in control in his goal to win this prize for Jesus. He says, I keep it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or disapproved. That's what he's talking about there. He says, you've got to fight this battle forever and every step of the way, because if you don't, you're going to slip. And you're going to be causing others to slip when you do that. See, it's really serious what Paul's telling us here and what God wants. He wants us to be conformed 110% to His image. We need to be involved in this all the time. Now, the premise I'm trying to get here with this today is this, is that we need to get aligned with God. And our world is increasingly in our day becoming misaligned with God. And we have the propensity, like Paul, to go through the motions and beat the air. But Paul says, I don't do that. What I do is causing me to remain tough and to get tougher. And let me tell you, Christians, we better get tough. Not nasty. Not hateful. But we better get tough, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. The race course that we are in and will be increasingly in is going to be filled with obstacles. And we need Jesus, and we better stick with Him, and we better get in shape for Him. You cannot run from any issues of sin. You have to face them head on, and we must be prepared in love to speak the truth, to help people. There is no help in telling them lies. And God is not a liar. He is the author of all truth. We must fight to receive and believe and practice God's will for us, because there will be the temptation to give in and give up. And folks, that's what I see in our Christian community today in many instances. No, the body is still there, but it's flabby. We're not buffed out. We're not ready for what's here and what's coming. And we need to get ready sooner than later, like now. We got to get it right with God. Now, back to my two words. They were effector and receptor. This is a Bible basic. And the first place I want to use that today is that God is the effector. Everything flows from Him. And mankind is the receptor. It flows from God to man. And here I'm not talking about the male species particularly, but mankind, humans, okay? God's design and His order flows from Him to us. Let's go in our Bibles to Genesis 1, 26 through 28, and we're down to about 3 or 4 minutes. Is anyone going to get upset if we come back for several weeks on this subject? If you're upset, give me a call. We'll have some counseling this week. And I'll give you some fast counsel on that. Get over it and get with it. It'll be okay. Or take the book and study. It's all there. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Here it is, folks. Effector and receptor. And this is both spiritual and physical, okay? Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image. By the way, you wonder about this us and our. It's plural. You know why? Because God is one God, yet He has three personalities. He's the three in one. It's called the Trinity. Trinity's never found in the Scriptures, but it's an identification of three. And that's one of God's manifestations. He's three personalities, but one God. Distinct personalities. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And anyway, here it is. God made man. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke the creation into being. Genesis 1:1. But here's the key. In our image, we are a three-part person made up of three things. We're a trichotomist people. We're made up of the material and the immaterial. But we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And we won't go into all that detail today, but you can ask me or study that yourself. We are made in the image of God, folks. The rest of the created kingdom is not made in such a fashion. Even the angels are not made in the image of God. By the way, there is no redemption for the angels because there was no sacrifice for the angels. They cannot be redeemed. Okay? But mankind can because of Jesus, the God-man, the second Adam that came and died for us, which we're going to celebrate here in just a minute. After our likeness is what the Scriptures say here. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man was created with the intellect of God. We have the ability to use some of the attributes of God in our makeup. And here's one of the places it says we are to what? We are to superintend, to be a steward over what God has created. Okay? Now, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Note here, male and female created He them. Well, there it is, folks. The male now, and we're going to find this out, the male part of humanity now assumes the role, in many cases, of the effector by God's design. We'll look at that here in a little bit, but you think about it yourself, both in the physical and spiritual sense. Now, I told you 2 weeks ago I was going to talk mainly about the women. I'm not going to get there today. But I'm going to talk about both specifically. But the male is the effector and the female is the receptor, and that's God's creative order, both spiritual and physical. I'm going to go to one last text and then we're going to go to communion. We'll have to come back and do the best we can when we can. Genesis 2, 18 through 24. Now I want you to ponder that receptor and effector and God's plan for things. But He created humanity in two genders, two sexes, male and female. That's what the Bible says. Personally, I believe that. Because it's the truth. Anyway, Genesis 2, 18 through 24. This is the creative order that God has. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. By the way, is it ever good for men to be alone? Well, Kim, I need you. If you've ever been alone as a guy, that's a very hard thing. More difficult than for a gal in many cases. God said it is not good that man should be alone, meaning that Adam was alone. And here it is, and I'm going to have to stop here because of time. We'll go into it next week. I will make a help meet for him, it says in the King James Version. Insert the word there, fit for him. God designed there to be a male and a female, and they are to complement one another. The female is to complement the male. They fit like a glove. I'm not going to get any more graphic than that. But this is God's design order. And there's a reason behind it. And you come back next week, Lord willing, we'll explore that further. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Think about this week, though. Effector and receptor. And we'll go on from there later on. Deacons, I'm going to ask you to come forward at this time. Also, before we go, I believe there is a hymn that we can consider as we go to communion and prepare our hearts for that. And I believe it is Lead Me to Calvary, and I think it is on our screen today. So if you know that, we'll go ahead and sing that as we prepare for communion at this time. 176 in the hymnal, it could be. Yep. Yes, ma'am. I think I remember it. We'll just sing stanza one as we prepare now for communion. Let's stand if you're able today, and then we'll be seated once again. Okay. King of life, I crown thee now. Thine shall be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to So at this time, we'll focus on the cross of Calvary where Christ died for the sins of the world and shed his blood to cover those sins. Paul writes to us again in 1 Corinthians, and I'll just briefly explain that. And that is the last writing about communion and the Lord's Supper in the Scriptures, the most up-to-date one. Jesus instituted it in the upper room with his disciples on the night before he went to the cross. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't ever forget what I have done for you and will be doing for you when I have gone to bear your sins in my body on the cross and when I have shed my blood to cover or atone or to, again, absolve your sins through my blood. They're covered in his precious blood for our sinful blood. So he says, do this as long, again, until we're reunited with him back in heaven at the Lord's marriage supper of the Lamb, when we'll all be together as one, and this will be when we're in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So until that time, we'll continue to do that. Please be seated. I'm sorry about that this morning. Sorry for the confusion here today. We will work on that. So what Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, this is a very important thing for us to examine. The first thing is our relationship with Jesus. And again, if we have not been brought under the blood of the Lamb, if we have never given our sins over to him for forgiveness, we really don't have anything here to participate in other than to eat a little wafer here that is of unleavened bread and a cup of fruit of the vine. These are both symbols of his body and blood, but they are not something that can save us. And what Paul told the Corinthian church is this needs to be something that's real. And that's what I want to offer us today, that if indeed you have trusted Christ as your Savior and realize that he's borne your sins on Calvary's cross for the sins of the whole world and shed his blood to cover your sins, then this is a vivid reminder to us today that that is the case. Now, if you'd be here today and you have not made that decision in your life with Jesus Christ, this is not something that you should receive. Paul says that very clearly. The other thing that he says in general about this is that if we have unconfessed sin in our lives, both before the Lord or with one another. He says we ought to see those things change, and that there ought to be a time of retrospection. That's why as these elements are passed, and as you've been considering and we sang today, considering your own life, there is nothing wrong with passing these by, okay? And if you're not in fellowship with the Lord or with one another, there's nothing wrong with that, but seek to see that fellowship restored. So today, we do this once a month, but what Paul really tells us in his letter there to the Corinthian churches, as often as you do it. You don't maybe pass these elements, but you know what? Most of us eat three meals a day. We drink or consume food. We can be reminded of the body and blood of Christ. And so that's what this is for, to keep him vividly before us today. Thankfully, God loved us so much that Jesus came for our sake and shed his blood and bore our sins in his body and rose again. So to begin with today, I'm going to ask Brother Denny here if he would thank the Lord once again for coming and being nailed to the cross of Calvary and to see the sin of mankind upon his shoulders and God's wrath poured upon him as he even had to turn his back as Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. That is real love. When the Godhead was disrupted in its fellowship due to our sin. Denny?
Well, I'd like to take a minute out to... This is not easy for me, as some of you know, but I often write prayer down on a card. Why? Because I forget. And this is a prayer that I share for all of us, and I'd like to share it now. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes to see Jesus. Give us hearts receptive to the direction of your Spirit. Grant us the strength and courage to follow the path you have chosen for us. In Jesus' name. And I pray that often for all of us that, even outside the church. But, anyway, saying that, I'm going to pray. Our Father, again, we thank you for this privilege. Great privilege that we have, Lord, to come before you. Thank you for inviting each and every one of us here. And as I pondered the word this morning, I think of the verse of you came not to be served, but to serve us and to die for each and every one of us. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for what you've done for us. And now, Lord, we a simple prayer is to help us to make us more like you. Change us, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And again, this symbolizes his blood. What we have here is fruit of the vine, has no fermentation or yeast, because Christ was sinless, his blood was perfect, and it was the only thing that could cover or atone. It had to be a superior sacrifice to the blood of humans that was tainted. So, Lonnie, I'll ask at this time that you acknowledge the Lord, thank the Lord and God, his Father, for sending him, and Jesus obeying for us, and that his blood was spilled there on Calvary's cross to cover the sins of the world.
Precious Father, thank you for the gift and sacrifice of your Son. Thank you that we can know him today as Savior. Thank you that he died willingly, Lord. No man took his life, Lord. He gave up the ghost. Thank you for the things that he went through, Lord. This indescribable pain, the things that he did for us, Lord. But Lord, the greatest pain he endured when you, the Father, turned your back on him, Lord, while the sin of the world hung on him. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you that we can know him today. Thank you for this time that we can take to remember what he went through. But it was all because you loved us, Lord, and you wanted to make a way for us to get there. Thank you that we can take these symbols today, Lord, know and recognize, and help us to understand what they really are, Lord. Help us to know what they mean to us in our lives here in this earth. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Symbols, they're representatives of Christ's blood. But thanks be to God that Jesus came and did it for real. Amen. And this was reality, what he went through for us. So that is what we remember this morning as we partake of these reminders. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance." Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Let's rise at this time and we'll be dismissed with the aroma blessing. I look forward to greeting you at the door here as we meet the building today. Remember, if there are any spiritual needs or other needs, I'm always glad to work with you and help you. There are others here as well that will be here to share and help us all to be led to Calvary. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious. Lord lift up his